Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Catherine McPherson. Catherine, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Catherine is our children's director here at Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg. We thought it would be good to have her in to share her testimony. Catherine, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Sure. I grew up in Boston. My dad was the chaplain at Eastern Nazarene College. So I got to grow up just around college students. And when I was going into my freshman year of high school, my dad got a job at Colgate University, where he's still the chaplain now in upstate New York. So I lived there through high school. And then for college, I went to Olivet Nazarene University, and I double majored in Spanish and psychology with a minor in sport management just for fun. And then after that, I moved to Kansas because I had some friends from college that lived there, and I had the opportunity to teach third grade in a Spanish dual language immersion program, and that was amazing. And then I decided I wanted to continue learning Spanish, so I was looking for master's programs. And I wanted to study abroad, and I found a master's program at James Madison. And it was 6 weeks studying in person on campus, and then the fall and the spring semesters were both online, and then 6 weeks in Spain, and then one more semester online. And I was really interested in that program, so I applied, I got in, and then I needed somewhere to live for 6 weeks in the summer to take classes here. And I asked my parents, I was like, how can I do this? How do I live somewhere for 6 weeks? And my dad said, well, I only know one person that lives in Virginia, and that's Sydney Michael, or Sydney Hazlett now. And she was a student at ENC when my dad was working there, and she would babysit me sometimes when I was a kid. And he was like, you should reach out to Sydney to see if she knows anywhere you could stay. And so I texted Sydney, hadn't talked to her in years, and she said, my parents live in Virginia. They live in Virginia too. They said, my parents live there, and their basement is available. You could definitely live in their basement. And so that's Pastor Margaret's basement. So I lived in Pastor Margaret's basement for 6 weeks while I was studying at James Madison. And then I didn't know what I was going to do from there. I was just going to go back home for the fall and spring semesters online and kind of figure something out. And Pastor Margaret encouraged me to look into the school system here, apply for a job. And so literally the day I was supposed to move back home to New York, I applied for a job, heard back from them the day of, went in for an interview that day, had the interview, and then I drove back home to New York, packed my car, drove back home, and I heard from them about a week later asking if I would come teach in the dual language immersion program here in Harrisonburg. So I taught fifth grade last year, stayed with the Michaels another year. They got stuck with me. And then have been attending Church of the Nazarene here since I started living with them, and it's been amazing. And then back in January of this year, I met Pastor Kevin and got into a conversation with him, started making connections, and he said, why are you not our children's director? And I said, because I have a job, and I'm not a children's director. And he said, well, I just would really like you to pray about it. So I prayed about it, had a conversation with him and with Olivia, and I told them, no, I had a job. And from January till May, I probably had 7 different people come up to me and say, why are you not our children's director? And so the Lord really just kept opening the doors and working on my heart through those months. And in May, I accepted the position as children's director here. And I have been here a week and a half now, and it's been the best week and a half ever. I keep saying, I can't believe that this is my real life. I can't believe that this is what I get to do for a job. I can't think of anything more fulfilling than to come and teach kids about the Lord and just to minister to them in that way. And to connect with people in the community and with volunteers, it's been absolutely incredible. So, yeah.
Awesome. It is so good to have you here. And when you were even doing the program, I was like, man, that would be awesome if she would be our children's art. But I didn't want to push that. But I think just we all saw something in you. But I love how the Lord takes his time, and he's the convincer, right, of the next steps. And we need to hear from him before we make those steps. So it's been really fun to actually hear just you run down through all of those things. And I want to go back to Boston with you for a minute. I just think it's a part of the story of how Sydney got so involved with you all. I told her she needed a family she could have a home-cooked meal with. Find a family that you could do life with there while she was in college at ENC. And I believe she wrote a formal invitation inviting herself your parents, your home, for lunch each Sunday. Mm-hmm. And your parents obliged that invitation. And Olivia got to be a part of that. And then Steve and I even visited and got to be a part of being around your table on a Sunday. After church. And so that's just, so I've known you since you were that little girl. And it was so funny when Sydney asked me about you staying in our basement. I thought that you were coming to go to JMU as an undergrad. I just could not believe it had been that many years that you'd grown up on us. Anyway, so just grateful that you're here. And so let's go back to that Boston time. And did you all attend like a college church there? Was that where you all attended?
We were at Walston Church in the Nazarene, which was the church on ENC's campus.
Yeah. So what was your going to church years like? When did you really realize that Jesus was somebody that you wanted to give your life to?
Mm-hmm. I would say that was something that I just knew my whole life. I can't remember a specific moment, but I think just more and more each year I see the Lord's faithfulness and goodness and provision and how he's just someone I need more and more each day. Right. But I was a part of the youth group at Wally while I was there. But like I said, I moved away in ninth grade and we moved to Hamilton, New York, which is just a small town in the middle of nowhere. The closest Nazarene church is probably an hour away. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my dad's a chaplain at Colgate, which is not a Christian school or really have any religious affiliation. So he's the Protestant chaplain, and there's also a Catholic priest and a Jewish rabbi that all work together. And so my dad just has a small church gathering on Sunday nights for whatever students want to come. I think there's probably 60 to 70 students now, maybe a little more since I've left, that attend. So that was really cool to be a part of that church service on Sunday nights. But it was really hard leaving such a strong youth group. My little brother and I, when we moved to Hamilton, we didn't really have a youth group anymore. And we really lost that church community. And so that were like our age. And so I think that played a huge decision in my choice to go to Olivet because I wanted to go somewhere that was that I wanted to go to a Christian school.
Yeah.
Just because I had missed that so much in that community. And Olivet was a great decision, and the community there was amazing. So I'm thankful for that too.
And now your brother's there,
right? And now my little brother's there, yeah. Logan just started his junior year today, and he's an RA, and he's very involved. I thought I thrived at Olivet, but he seems to be just doing even better than I did. Yeah, so
that's great.
I'm really excited for him. Yeah.
Something kind of neat. Pastor Margaret was talking about the Boston connection, the ENC connection. So, and I mentioned you're our newest children's director. So I asked Pastor Julie, who is our former children's pastor, who also went to ENC around the same time as Sydney and Olivia. I said, do you know Catherine? She's like, yeah. And I believe she taught you maybe at the church. I don't know if that was in the
I wouldn't be surprised if she helped out at Wally. But yeah, there were a lot of great people at Wally that played a really big role in my knowing Christ, I guess.
So you went to Olivet and then was getting your master's in Spanish. Had you always wanted to do that? Just tell us about your desire to have that.
When I decided to go to Olivet, I did not know what I wanted to major in. I had no idea. But I had taken Spanish all through high school, so I just thought, might as well take a couple more Spanish classes. And I did. And then I thought, well, there's no point in minoring in Spanish. I might as well major in it. So I majored in Spanish and psychology, and that was great. And then, like I said, I was in Kansas, and I had the opportunity to teach third grade in a dual language immersion program in Spanish, which was a really great opportunity, but I had no teaching experience, and like I didn't study elementary ed or anything. So they just hired me as a long-term sub because they needed someone to be teaching in Spanish. And there wasn't a teacher for the position, so I just taught as a long-term sub that whole year. And then I decided I would like my master's in Spanish. So the program I'm in right now is Spanish language and culture for educators, which has been really, really cool. And something I didn't even realize when I decided to come to JMU is that my grandpa also got his master's at James Madison. And I didn't realize either that he also was on staff at this church.
That's right. That's right.
And my dad just told me, actually, he was on staff at the church when he graduated from JMU with his master's. Which is exactly the spot that I'm going to be in because I graduate in December from JMU and I am now on staff at the church. So that's kind of crazy.
And your dad remembers going to elementary school here.
Yeah.
And he was in school with Clayton Justice, I believe.
Yeah. That was another crazy connection to make. Yeah. Just meeting people from the church that know my dad and my grandpa, even though they were only here for like, I don't even think it was 4 years. It was a very short amount of time. But being able to make those connections has been crazy.
Yeah, some of your grandpa's friends, like, attend here. And it's been really cool to see those connections. It's been really fun for them. It's just like, what?
I know.
What?
Every time I'm blown away.
Yeah.
You were talking about just taking more Spanish classes and ultimately majoring in it and then teaching in these dual language classes, first in Kansas and then here in Harrisonburg. Is that where, like, did you have a passion for ministering to kids before that, or is that where that started?
So after I graduated at Olivet, I had the opportunity to be like a volunteer at Nazarene Youth Conference. And so I knew I wanted to move to Kansas because I didn't want to move back home because they're just small town, didn't really want to go back there. I love Hamilton. It's great. Just not a lot of job opportunities for me at that time. And a lot of my friends from all of that were living in Kansas. So I just thought I would apply to be a substitute teacher in the school district until I could find something else. And so I did that. And then the next day I got a call asking if I would be open to being a long-term sub in this Spanish dual language immersion program. And I was like, I've never taught. I don't know. That's so much. Like, I have no idea. And so I took a couple of days to think about it and to pray about it, and Nazarene Youth Conference was during that time. And I was headed to Nazarene Youth Conference thinking, okay, like, I probably am not going to do it. Like, there's all this paperwork I need to fill out, like, and I had to be in the state of Kansas to be getting fingerprinted and everything. It was just so many logistical things that I thought, like, that's not possible for me to figure out in the next few days before school starts. And I was at Nazarene Youth Conference. And there was one service where I just really felt the Lord challenging me to, like, take that step and to just trust him and do it. And I remember saying to God, like, if you want me to do it, like, okay, but I need your help to figure it out because I don't know how this is going to work out. It makes no sense. But I said, like, if that's what you want me to do, like, okay. And so I was at the airport and I was supposed to fly from Florida back to Syracuse, New York, and my flight was basically they canceled my flight and told me I had to wait 3 days before I could make it home. And I was like, well, I can't wait 3 days. I need to get home before that. And so I was asking if there's flights to Boston or LaGuardia or whatever airport was in my area. And they're like, no, there's nothing for another 3 days. I was like, okay. And so at that point, my roommate, Brooke, who was also helping out at NYC with her mom, they were flying back to Kansas, and so I thought maybe I could fly back to Kansas with them. So I asked, and I was like, can I get on this flight to Kansas? And she was like, yeah, we can fly you to Kansas, and then tomorrow morning, actually, you can fly to Syracuse from Kansas. I was like, okay, wonderful. So while I'm sitting there at the airport, the flight had been delayed, so I'm sitting with Brooke and her mom, and I was like, I wonder if I could get fingerprinted tomorrow while I'm in Kansas. So I texted the number that I had. And it was a Sunday, so I don't even know why the lady responded. But she was like, yes, of course we can get you in the morning. You can come be fingerprinted at 8:30, whatever. And I was supposed to, like, fly out at 12 or something. And so I was like, okay, great. And I had no idea where the fingerprinting place was. It could have been anywhere in Kansas. So I fly to Kansas with Brooke and her mom, stay the night at Brooke's house. And the fingerprinting place was literally 5 minutes from Brooke's house. So I drive to the fingerprinting place in the morning and then drove to the airport and made it home, got all the paperwork done, figured out that morning while I was there, flew back home and was able to accept the job because all the paperwork had been completed. that day. And so that was really just, I saw the Lord provide and literally make a way for mm-hmm. what he was calling me to do. So to answer your question, mm-hmm. I never necessarily like saw myself teaching until mm-hmm. I was doing it. And I realized, mm-hmm. oh my word, I love this. I love working with kids. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. That's neat.
And so with having an English and a Spanish congregation here, it is a really good fit.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you look back and you see the preparation that God provides, mm-hmm. which is really, I just like, you can't make this stuff up. Mm-mm. Like, and he keeps surprising us. You think, oh, I know he's good and I know he's does, but he keeps surprising us.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like every year, like I loved teaching in Kansas. I loved teaching third grade and I was very blessed with that, but it was so much. It was a lot, like just my first year teaching. And then he provided the opportunity for me to live here and be here and teach fifth grade here. And that was another great opportunity, but very, very challenging, especially while I was getting my master's at the same time. And I thought, like, I thought teaching was for me. I thought I had found my, like, passion, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I just always say, like, the hardest thing about teaching is not being able to tell my kids that Jesus loves them. And now I'm here, and, like, that's my job, to tell kids that Jesus loves them. So, yeah, the Lord just continues to provide and open doors mm-hmm. that make me each day think, wow.
Yeah.
It's better and better.
Yeah, and you're ministering not just to the kids of our church, but also we have an after-school and daycare program. At the time of this recording, I believe you did your first chapel. So
yes, I was a part of the chapel this morning, and there's another one this afternoon, so I'm really excited to be able to be a part of that, too, with mm-hmm. Kids Harbor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That reaches out to our community, so.
Yeah, that is really a blessing, too.
Yeah, it's so funny. It just... You show up and you think you're here for 6 weeks and just the trajectory of just one yes and another yes. It's been fun to watch. So tell us just some things about, like, what do you love to do? Who's Catherine?
What do I love to do? I love getting ice cream. I will never say no to ice cream. I have really enjoyed finding a running community here. One of my friends from church actually invited me to go to a run group with her. And so since then, I've been going to that on Saturday mornings. And that's been a really great way to connect with people. And trying to just kind of stay in touch with my coworkers from last year. I love spending time with people. I love being with your family. Pastor Margaret invites me to her home often, and I really, really appreciate that. Just being involved. I love anything that has to do with community, being with someone, being with people. That's been.
And you run. You don't run just for the fun of it. I mean, you're usually training for something, right?
I've been training for a couple marathons. I trained for the Buffalo Marathon this past May, hoping to qualify for Boston, which I did. So that was really, really exciting, and I credit a lot of that to my dad. He really inspired me there. And so I need to register. Registration opens in September, but be running the Boston Marathon this year.
Wow, that's...
Which I've always wanted to do just from growing up in Boston. But I wasn't a runner until after college. So I just always thought it was literally impossible to qualify for the Boston Marathon. But
Were you in Boston at the time of the bombing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
Well, I think the girls were both there at that time.
I was going to say, were they both there?
Yeah, I think so. They will correct me if I'm wrong. I know Sydney was. So, yeah, that is amazing. Like, you are very committed. Anybody has to be very committed if they're going to run a marathon. And so, yeah, that's just another piece of you have a well-rounded, like, life of church and community, and it didn't take you long at all when you moved here to find that.
Right, yeah.
And so, and you love Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah, don't even get me started on Trader Joe's. I love to drive to, I love driving to Charlottesville. It's a beautiful drive. I love Virginia. Mm. It's absolutely beautiful, and I can't get over the mountains and just how beautiful it is all the time. But especially the drive to Charlottesville is beautiful. The drive to Trader Joe's, I love it. I'll do it any day of the week. I feel very passionately about the things I'm passionate about. Virginia is one of them. Trader Joe's is one of them. The church, kids, running.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite ice cream?
Anything chocolate peanut butter. I love Smiley's. That's probably my favorite in the area that I found. But anything chocolate peanut butter, I love. Yeah.
Well, that used to be one of the questions Pastor Margaret and I would start off asking people, and then we realized that sometimes we didn't have time. So today we had time, and you mentioned ice cream, and I'm like, I'll have to
figure out. You should ask Grayson what kind of ice cream he likes.
Oh, okay.
Vanilla. Yeah, I'm boring.
With toppings?
No, just plain. Just
regular. Yep. Is there a brand?
Well, of places in the area, sure. Klein's is my favorite, custard.
Okay.
Yeah, but.
Okay. Yeah. I want some crunch in my ice cream.
Yeah.
I want something crunchy in.
Uh-huh.
So it's, yeah, we would not agree at all on ice cream.
No.
Grayson and I, but.
I remember this summer, Pastor Margaret invited me upstairs from the basement because you guys had picked fresh strawberries, mm-hmm. and they made homemade strawberry ice cream, and that was immaculate. That was good really ice good ice cream. Yeah. So that's probably my favorite in the valley.
Yeah.
So how did you said you didn't get into running till after college. How did you get in? You said your dad, did you run with him?
So my dad turned 50 years old a couple years ago and decided to run 50 miles to celebrate his 50th birthday. So we all went to Pennsylvania to watch him run this 50-mile race, and it took like 12 hours, and it was so fun to watch him run. And I realized that day that anyone can run 50 miles. Like, everyone that was there, it wasn't like anyone was some crazy Olympic athlete. It was just they all had the mental capacity to do it or determination to do it. And so I thought, if Dad can run 50 miles, I can run half of that. And so we signed up together for the Disney Marathon my senior year of college. And we ran that together, and that was super fun. And then we ran the Myrtle Beach Marathon together and the Kansas City Marathon together in 2024. And then after I moved here, I just kind of kept training on my own. Met Katie, who brought me to the group run. And through that, I met another friend, and we ran a marathon together and did it faster than we thought we could. And so from then, we decided to train for Boston together. And so that's what we've been working on. But all that to say, anyone can train. Anyone can be a runner, because I used to hate running. And now I like it. So anyone listening to this that thinks they can't run or can't run a marathon, you can. And you should, because it's really fun. My dad always teases me because when I was in high school, my parents forced me to play a sport. They forced me to pick one. And I picked volleyball because it had the least amount of running. And I diagnosed myself with exercise-induced asthma, which is a real thing. But my dad says I was just out of shape. So anyone can run. You just have to decide to do it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And that's a good testament to anything you do in life. Mm-hmm. If you think you can't do it, you should try it. Mm-hmm. So at the time of this recording, we mentioned about your first chapel, but you also had this past Sunday, you had your first Sunday in Kid City with the kids. So anything you want to share about that, or anything looking into this new job, this new opportunity that you're looking forward to?
Mm-hmm. I'm just really excited. Like I said, I love teaching, and the hardest thing was always just not being able to tell the kids that Jesus loves them. And I felt like I was spending so much time studying the curriculum, what I was going to teach, math, fractions, and like, that's great. Right. But now I'm able to study the word and study like how, literally just study the Bible and be able to teach them that, which is like the most fulfilling thing I could ever think to do. And just knowing, like, just teaching them how to live in relationship with one another and in relationship with the Lord. I'm really excited to like get to know all the kids and their families, and just teach something that is really, really meaningful, to me.
Yeah. So. You know, we have a vision here at the church that everyone wins one, that we should always be aware of the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, needs someone that sees them. And you were in one classroom with one group of kids, and now you have the opportunity to help teach and guide the kids that are in classes all throughout this community on how to love others,
right?
You know, and the importance of, you know, of showing up and being present and loving each other. I just think that it's just expanded the opportunity, and the kids can talk more about that than you could, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I don't know, we're just thinking, well, I think we may have just, this is kind of a place that you can, you're still teaching and talk about Jesus, and then these kids will just be filtered all throughout this community.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, thank you for saying yes and just preparing and going to school and getting the education and just taking that next step and just not knowing where it would take you. You spent the summer in Spain, and we didn't even get to talk about what that was like, but just that you were able to come back here and be a part of the team, it's been really cool to have you here.
Well, thank you, because I wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for your prayer and your hospitality and your family, honestly. I was like, I knew I was headed to Spain, and I thought I would either just come back and teach another year or go back home, because I didn't know what the Lord had for me next. But your family has made me feel very, very welcomed here and loved, and the church community in general. But, yeah, that's something I'm very, very thankful for. So thank you.
Well, in closing, maybe you would like to share this. So we call this program Hope Talks. So what gives you the most hope, but also share a little bit about your time in Spain, if you want to.
My time in Spain was wonderful, just to be a part of a different culture and learn the language. That's my ultimate goal. I really just wanted to learn more Spanish, be able to communicate better with people that speak Spanish. And what gives me hope? That's a big question. I mean, Jesus. Yeah. I think just knowing each day that, like, today could be, like, you never know who you're going to meet in a day or what conversation you're going to have with someone. Or I always say, like, today could be the day I see the most beautiful sunset ever. Like, I don't know. So I just think finding something small to be excited about each day gives me a lot of hope. But ultimately, just knowing that the Lord holds each day and that he could come back any day.
Yeah,
that gives me a lot of hope.
Right.
That scares some people, but that makes me really, really excited.
Yeah.
That's
And Pastor Margaret kind of alluded to this already, but he's increased your territory by giving you more kids to teach and to minister to, and math and English and Spanish. All those things are important, but what is most important is the love of Jesus, which you're able to teach them, and about the Bible. And
And I do believe that in education of any kind, like, you can teach kids that just through the way that you love them and show that love to them.
Right.
But it is really cool to be able to directly say to them, Jesus loves you.
Right.
And that's what you can show to others in your school too.
Yeah. So you were able to do it by your actions in school, but now you can do it both verbally and in your actions.
Yeah. And that is a blessing. That's a blessing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today on Hope Talks, Catherine. It's been great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Catherine McPherson's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.